Okay, a very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizrael of Cherry Hill. This week's Take Talmud for sessions are sponsored by Dr. Eric Miller in honor of his wife. May they have Arichas Yom and Vishonim together. Shabbos Ayin Hey, Shabbos 75A, pagination, page 149. We are starting from about 22 lines from the bottom. At the end of a line, two dots with the word Hatsod. Good. Hatsod Tzvi, one of the 39 categories, is a person who traps a deer. And from that, we obviously extrapolate or extend or understand that the entire category is going to be applied to all different types of living creatures, including fish, including other animals, etc.
Insects.
Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Hatsod chilazon. One who traps the chilazon. What is the chilazon? So the chilazon is a certain type of sea creature which gives a blue dye if it's processed properly and is used to dye in the time of the Mishkan. There were specific things that had to be dyed blue, and in closer to contemporary times, our perspective, it has to do with the tzitzis and the talus, that one of the eight strands is supposed to be dyed with the chilazon dye. The Medrash says that it was nignaz, it was hidden, and that we're not zoche in our time to chilazon, to that color. The Mishnah Menachos tells us that you could still be yotze the mitzvah of talus and tzitzis without that upgrade, without the chilazon dye, without that blue dye. And we have seen in most recent times that some people conjecture what the color is, what its source is, and they attempt to do it on the assumption that perhaps their conjecture is accurate as to what the chilazon is, and even if it's not right, it doesn't ruin anything, and therefore they try. Other opinions, which I believe is more mainstream in terms of volume of number of people observing, maintain that once it was nignaz, you can't by conjecture reinvigorate a mesorah. You have to have a mesorah, a tradition, in order to observe something. And they presumably are of the opinion that it will not be reinstated until Mashiach's time. In any case, there's a lot that we can learn from the chilazon, and the Gemara cites it as an example of a Shabbos concern. If you were to process the chilazon as you would during the week, what would you be in violation of? So the statement over here says, Hatsod chilazon, one who traps it, so there's some level of trapping it from wherever it's found, Vehapotso, and one who squeezes it, you're pushing out the blood, Eino chayev elo achas, it's only one Shabbos violation, the violation of trapping. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Chayiv Shtayim. There is a second violation here which you are not enumerating. Shahayir Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Pitzia v'chlal disha. The pressing is included in the step called Dosh. What is Dosh? So we encounter dosh, it's the separating of the grain from its husk, from its kernel, from the shell, and you press it out, break it free. We also have dosh in the application of one form of schita, squeezing. If you want to squeeze out the juice of an orange, for example, or squeeze out the juice from a grape or olive, so you are doing disha, either d'orais or d'rabbanon, depending on the fruit, etc. But you're squeezing out the juice from the pulp is a form of extraction of the usable part from what remains behind. So over here, you're extracting the blood from the creature itself. And that should be a level of dosh, Rabbi Yehuda says. Amru lo, and they responded, the reason we said there's only one Shabbos violation if you trap it and squeeze it is because ein p'tzia b'chlal disha. Squeezing a creature is not the same as squeezing something that grew from the ground. And therefore, there was only one Shabbos violation. Amar Rava, my time at the Rabban, Kasavra in Disha Ala Gedule Karka, it only applies when it's something that grew from the ground. Now, the reason this Gemara is so critical in understanding Shabbos violations is because of the next part, the second part of this Gemara. V'lechayiv nami mishem netilas neshama. Why shouldn't you be in violation of loss of life? If you swat a fly or a mosquito on Shabbos, you're in violation of killing. You kill an animal, in violation of killing. So why, when it came to chilazon, you're squeezing out its blood, and there's no mention that you're killing it? It's in the process of killing it. If you squeeze out too much, how much blood could there be here? You squeeze out its blood, it's going to die. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shepatzo meis. Rabbi Yochanan says, you're squeezing them after they're dead. Okay? So there's no netilas neshama, it's dead already. Rava Omar, afilu tema shepatzo chai. Rava says, no, it's a case where you squeezed it while it was alive. But misasek hu etzel netilas neshama, it's misasek, it's inadvertent, there's no intention for taking its life. Taking its life is incidental. I just want the blood. V'ha'abaya v'rova, you're probably thinking of this question, da'amri tarvayu, moda Reb Shimon b'sik reisha v'lo yomus. Even Reb Shimon is normally lenient when it's not intentional Shabbos violation, but when it comes to a psik reisha, he agrees. What's a psik reisha? Where it definitely has to happen. The case is that they take a bird and they chop off its head to entertain the child. Whether this happened or didn't happen is irrelevant, but that's the illustration. And as the head pops off, the bird dies. And the man says, I only wanted to entertain the child. I had no intention that the bird should die. I just wanted to detach the head from the body. I didn't intend that it should die. It's an absurd claim. That's the claim of psik reisha, because it has to happen. Even if your intent is not for it to die and you have no gain, I'd rather the animal stay alive. I'd rather be able to reattach the head and entertain the child in 2 hours as well. But that's not the way the world works. The thing that you did intrinsically equals the malacha. And normally, Reb Shimon agrees that when it's a psik reisha, it's going to be a Shabbos violation even if there was no intent. Answers the Gemara, Shaini hacha, it's different over here. Tekamo de ispe neshama tefei nichalei. As long as the creature is still alive, it's better for him. Because it has a clearer dye. The process of getting the dye from the creature works better. If you want good quality control, keep the creature alive as long as possible. Because then the blood is clearer, it's stronger, it's a better color. So that even though eventually the creature dies and then the blood starts changing color, whatever the process is, but your effort is to try to keep it alive. You're not looking to kill the animal. And therefore, it's not a psik reisha on the animal's death. Creature is not intended by me to die. I'm actually trying that it shouldn't. Now, obviously, we don't know what the chilazon is, so we're at a disadvantage over here as to understanding exactly what they were doing and weren't doing. But we do have a number of clues. Tosfos here, for example, asks a simple question. He says, any bloodletting is netilas neshama, taking life. Ki hadam hu hanefesh, because blood is life. Anytime. Even if you have a splinter and you start squeezing the blood out, that's a Shabbos violation. If we take out a splinter, we purposely take it out in a way that we're trying that it shouldn't let blood. But if you purposely squeeze out blood, that's just a Shabbos violation. As Tosfos, I don't understand. They're squeezing the creature for its blood on Shabbos. If that's your illustration of a Shabbos violation, then it should intrinsically be a Shabbos violation. Nothing to do with trapping. Nothing to do with squeezing. The fact that you're squeezing out its blood. Blood. Tosfos answers, Dam mifkad pokid. It appears like there was some sort of sack, that the blood that they were squeezing out was not its life blood, but it's something that would affect its life blood. So that the Gemara, on the one hand, is asking that it's going to die from this. On the other hand, Tosfos says, but it wasn't the intrinsic life blood that as you squeeze it, it's called Netilas Neshama. Somehow, Mifkat Pocket, this blood was available to be taken out. It wasn't called Netilas Neshama. We know that there are different types of bloods and different types of creatures. There are creatures that will get a black and blue mark because there's blood as it comes out, but it doesn't come out all the way because there's a hide above it. There's a skin above it. You have other creatures, Tosfos points out. You talk about, let's say, a frog, where there is no external hide, and therefore you prick it, comes straight out. So somehow this was a creature that mifkad pokid, that on taking out the blood, that was not the Shabbos violation of its own. Other things to consider is that you're taking it from the water. So taking it from the water, which is its place of life, automatically should be called netilas neshama. Simply taking a fish out of its place of life, leaving it on the side, is already netilas neshama. The expectation is it's going to die. I mean, what point are you in violation? So one approach here, perhaps, is like some people say, that the chilazon was some sort of snail that was able to live on dry land and was not intrinsically dead simply because it was plucked from the water. Another approach Art School brings from the Ritva is that they put it into water. You still have to be able to squeeze it, though, so I'm not sure. But there is such a tradition that it was some sort of snail. Also, there's a tradition that every 70 years, the chilazon would show up and be readily available. Now, if you learn that it's being washed up onto the beach, like some infestations that only happen once every 13 years, so you could say that the chilazon would multiply in their cycle of life so much that they started washing up and were readily available on the seashore. But otherwise, you would have to go trap them. And that there were two levels of how to obtain the chilazon, but perhaps they were sitting on the seashore, no different than snails, ants, spiders, turtles, slow-moving creatures that are just there, but they're not dead yet. The tzad is when you pick it up. You have now captured it. And the Gemara is saying you're in violation of tzad. And then the Gemara wanted to know, when you squeeze out the blood, are you in violation? So we said dosh is only by things that grow from the ground. And then we wanted to know, but you're killing it. And we're saying no. As he squeezes it out, he prefers that it should remain alive. And therefore, there are different levels of psikresha. There's psikresha where the animal clearly is dying from what you're doing. You're chopping off the head. There's psikresha which you prefer shouldn't happen. And then there's this psikresha where I actually hope it doesn't happen. If I'm truly adept in harvesting the dye from the chilazon, I'll manage that it shouldn't die, or at least as long as possible, I'm trying that it shouldn't die. Yashikolach, have a wonderful day.